and go to the book of Acts, chapter number one. Acts chapter number one. I have, I don't know if I would call it a simple message, but just a couple of things that need to take place in our life if we want to serve God. And I just want to look at them tonight and trust that you're ready to hear from God and ready to let Him speak to your heart and work in your heart, and may God be glorified. Huh? What a privilege that we have. Then, the best that I could do is what man can do. But God allows us to be part of something that we could never have the ability to even touch. And what a great God. Not only does He deliver us, but use us for His glory. And let me encourage you, if you're not serving God, you're missing out. And what a great privilege it is to be part of what God is doing. And I mean, it's exciting to be on the sideline, but it's not nearly as exciting as be right there in the middle of it. Amen. And there was an evangelist, he was greatly used by God, and they asked him, so what's the secret? And he says, I just see where God is working and I go and join Him. And that's exactly what we do. It's not our work, it is God's work. And a couple of things that need to take place in our life to serve God. And the first one we see here in Acts chapter number one, and the first thing that must be take place is we must be challenged. And when you look at the world today, and especially Canada and North America, there's been even now, like, I am not old. This is the oldest I've ever been. But when I was young, things were a little bit different than they are even today. I see quite a change. And I look at young people, and young people, the only generation they have to compare to is their own. But we have another generation that we can compare to, and some of the things that we tell them, they just kind of like, what are you talking about? Because this is the only generation they know. But we know that there's been a change in the young people. And obviously we are the ones that are to blame. I mean, we're supposed to point them the way. But one thing that I've noticed is when I grew up, growing up was not optional. Now it seems to be optional, huh? Like, I'll grow up when I want to. And if I'm 40 when I do it, then that's my choice. But it's optional. And there's a lot of 35, 40-year-olds, though, they have yet to grow up. I mean, they've grown big, but they have not grown up. They have not matured. And it's looked at as optional. And yet, when I grew up, it wasn't optional. When I was 12 years old, I had the many things I had to do was the things that 17 or 18-year-old would do. And one of the greatest way to mature is to get involved in things that will advance us. And if a young man goes to grade 5 year after year after year after year, he probably won't mature. He'll have to take that step and go into grade 6 in order for him to be advanced. And we have to be involved, that we have to reach beyond our ability. Because if we operate within our ability, we will never expand. We will never go beyond. And so we always have to reach beyond our ability and try to do something that we are physically are not able to do, but that advances us, that stretches us. It's like when I preach, and sometimes they say you got to preach right to the people, but I say, no, you got to preach just above the people. You got to stretch them a little, not beyond their reach, but you got to preach a little bit so people got to be stretched a little, because if you just give it right on the lap, then they just sit there and enjoy it. But everyone has, we have to be stretched. We want to go beyond, but it's like growing up is optional. And when we think about the work of God, and many times we are sitting and we're listening to the preaching, and it's great that preaching when we sit under the preaching, we place ourselves in a position where God can do a work in our heart. But if we want to be expanded, if we want to mature, if we want to grow, we have to be challenged. And we have to receive the challenge. And so one thing that I noticed that God always did, and especially when Jesus Christ was on earth, he would always challenge the people. And we must be challenged and receive the challenge to stretch us and to go beyond where we're at. If we want to do the work of God, we must be challenged. Here in Acts chapter number 1, it says, the former treaties have I made of Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Of course, and we know the story of Jesus Christ, that of course he came and he ministered, and he had a purpose in his ministry. But as he ministered on earth and educated his disciples, right there at the end, after he had risen from the grave, he gives the command. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right there. And so he lays the command on the hands of the disciples, and then he leaves. And so here it says, after he had commanded through the Holy Ghost, of course, the entire, when you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, the whole ministry was to prepare specifically God's people for the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And so when Jesus took off, it was not that he just took off and say, okay, let me know how it's going when I come again. But he gave us the Holy Ghost to continue the work of God on earth. And it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so Jesus spoke very much of the kingdom of God and preached the kingdom. Kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, the kingdom of God was never introduced until Jesus came specifically. And it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Ghost, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence, shortly hereafter. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth. And when they had spoken these things, or when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they, looking steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, and so here, of course, Jesus commands them. He says, I command you, I'm telling you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he says, and ye shall receive power, and I want you to wait here until you receive the power, and don't go anywhere. And he doesn't tell him how long. He doesn't tell him what's going to take. He just lays that challenge before him, challenges him to preach the gospel, the good news, in the entire world. And he's just taken up into glory, taken up into heaven. And their eyes are just fixed on him, and they're just looking at Christ. And it says in verse 11, or verse 10, it says, and while they look steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? See, they already lost focus of what he had just told them. He says, don't be gazing when you're supposed to be blazing. And so here it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. And so here, at the end of the life of Jesus Christ, he challenges his people. He says, I challenge you to preach the gospel into the entire world. And here's the challenge, he says, and I am coming back. See, if I were to challenge you to a game, said, I'll challenge you to meet me at the basketball court on Friday at 5 o'clock, and I'll challenge you to a game. And you go there and I don't show up, then it wouldn't be a challenge. There's a difference between being inspired and being challenged. We like to be inspired, huh? And it's good for us to be inspired. I was speaking to a young man one time, and I was saying to him, I said, if you want to make it in life, allow yourself to be challenged. I said, if you want to do something, allow yourself to be challenged. And he says, well, I watch television and I get challenged greatly. And I said, no, you don't. I said, he says, I watch sports and I get greatly challenged. I said, you get challenged zero. I said, you can watch a game and you may be greatly inspired, but I said, no one is expecting you to do anything. No one is going to keep you accountable. I said, you can turn that thing off and walk away. I said, when someone challenges you, you can't walk away. I said, you can't walk away from a challenge. You can walk away from an inspiration. But I said, you can just turn that thing off and go and be a loser, and that television will never chase you down. I said, Christ is coming back. And he's going to keep us accountable for what we're doing. So he doesn't just lay something before us. And he says, I'm keeping you accountable for what I'm laying before you. I'm coming back. And so he's when a challenge, there's a task. Test after. And there's going to be a test for us as we were covering this. So there's a difference between a challenge and inspiration. There's a difference between a challenge and an education. Anyone here a football fan? Oh, there's one. I grew up and I loved growing up, I didn't really get involved in sports, but when I was in my late teens, I got involved in sports and absolutely loved it. And the first sport that I got involved in was football. And of course, I was born in Southern Ontario and lived there for a number of years. And so right across the river were the Detroit Lions. I think all of Detroit Lions fans are Christians because they have great commitment. But right there was the Detroit Lions, and I was always a Detroit Lions fan. And I still, I don't watch the games anymore because I don't want to be distracted, but I enjoy watching a football game. I like the structure of the game, and I like how it's put together, and it's so much of a mind game, there's people that don't know football, they say, oh, they'll just all jump on the ball and dig the bottom guy out, and they walk away. And hopefully you're not the bottom guy. But there's structure behind the game. But last year, the Detroit Lions did fairly well. They made the playoffs. That is fairly well for the Detroit Lions. And they lost the first game in the playoffs, but that is fairly well. That is like winning the Super Bowl for another team. And so they did fairly well, and so they were expected to do fairly well this year. And so, but they lost one of their key players, but they still had a lot of talent. I mean, you looked at that team, and throughout the team, they had a lot of talent. And they got themselves seemingly a good coach, and so if you looked at them in practice, they looked like a great team. And some people were convinced this is the year for the Lions. And they knew the game. They just knew all the details of the game. They had it all figured out. And they looked super great in practice. Guess what? The season started, and that was their hurt. I wish the season would have never started. They would have been great. But the season started, and that's where everything fell. And right now, they are the worst team in the league. Not because they don't know the game, but they fail to meet the challenge. And sometimes we think we're okay because we know the details of our faith. But just knowing the details of our faith is not enough. We got to meet the challenge. There's an enemy out there. There's a battle out there. And there are souls out there. We can sit in the pews and we can quote scripture. And we can give the how it's got to be done. But God is challenging us to serve Him. Not just so. A challenge is a difference than an inspiration. It's a different than education. It's a different than a warning. There's a lot of warnings in the scripture. But there's a challenge for us to face. Canadian people are generally conservative, not in their voting, but in other areas. But we are generally conservative people, laid back, unless there's a hockey game too, yeah? But we one thing that we as Canadian people don't like is we don't like to be pressured. When the pressure comes, we run. I'm talking generally. When I go and preach in the Philippines, the Filipino people were under the Spanish for almost 400 years and then under the Japanese. And if I want to get the Filipino people to do something, I just put pressure on. They'll respond to pressure. But Canadian people, it's not like that. Usually if you pressure them, they just walk away. That's how we generally react. But the truth is, we can't just walk away from God's challenge. He's coming back. And so we must let God challenge us. Let the preaching challenge you. Let the scripture challenge you. If there's a verse and you say, boy, that is a hard saying, let it challenge you to do more. Let it stretch you. Let it say, God, I'm taking it on. I don't know how in the world I'm going to do it. I don't have the ability, but you've given me the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to respond to the challenge. And let me tell you, if you respond to the challenges of God, God will do amazing things. As you want to reach West Kelowna, you're going to have to respond to the challenges of God. And sometimes you're going to say, well, we just kind of like, hey, there's too much pressure, and we don't want the pressure. But I tell you, as you respond to the challenge, God's going to show Himself faithful. And if we want to reach the world, we must, as God's people, we must respond to the challenge, because Christ is coming back and we are going to be held responsible for what He has laid before us. See, a challenge is not what is put before us, but the challenge is how we respond to what is put before us. I mean, we can have everything before us and walk away, but it's the challenge is how we're going to respond. And so we must respond and take the challenge if we want to reach the world. Number two, first we must be challenged. Number two, we must be changed. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Look here in verse number 9. This is a testimony of Paul, and I love reading as Paul he writes, and of course he's given us the Word of God, but there's so much testimony of the life of Paul in his writing, and when you read the writings of Paul, and there's so many times you can relate to it, and here I can relate so much to these verses here. It says verse number 9, it says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And so when you look at the word meet, it means to be fit or to be suitable or to be able or to be equipped. And so here it says, I am not equipped, I am not suitable, I am not fit to be an apostle, yet he was an apostle. And so he says, I am something that I am completely not fit to be, that I'm completely not qualified to be, that I'm completely not suited to be. I am not meet to be an apostle, yet I am an apostle. He says, because I persecuted the church of God. In other words, everything I did in exact opposition of what I was supposed to do in order for me to do and be what I'm supposed to be. But then in verse number 10, it says, on the other side of the story, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so he says, what qualifies me to be an apostle is not my own ability, is not my own qualification. Paul here was an educated man. He was a dedicated man. And I don't know if he was a talented man, but they say he spoke 5 languages. And I've been working on learning Spanish. And I tell you, it does not just come naturally. If you want to learn a language, and one of the reasons that I wanted to learn Spanish is for the challenge. And I wanted to challenge myself because one of the things that we have a tendency to lose when we get older is our mind. And amongst other things, and let me just explain, but our mind is like a muscle. If you stop using it, it just kind of dies. And it just gets inactive, and it doesn't function properly. And just like a muscle, if you want to keep it strong, you got to exercise it. And the same thing with the mind. And I said, well, it's good for me to start exercising my mind now, because I want to keep it sharp. If I lose it, at least it's not because I didn't use it. And so one of the things that I did is I said, I'm going to learn Spanish. Of course, there was other reasons why I wanted to learn Spanish. And now Lord gave me a teacher. And so now I have no excuse. But I challenged myself to learn Spanish, and that takes a lot. So Paul, they say, spoke 5 languages, and so here he says all the things. And if you would have looked at the life of Paul, before he had Jesus Christ, just looking at him as a person, as a religious person, he was a dedicated man, and all these abilities and everything. And he says, I am not qualified to be an apostle. Because of my abilities, because of what I am naturally, but on the other hand, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And so, in other words, he says, I've been changed by God, I've been transformed, I've been enabled, I can do what God wants me to do because of His grace. We must not look to natural ability. If I look to natural ability, I limit myself to my natural ability. One of the things that we must, as God's people, we must accept who we are. But we must never tie our responsibility to who we are. Never limit our calling to be here. We've been called with a higher calling. And so we must be changed. I tell you, if you don't change, you'll keep doing exactly what you're doing. If I don't change, I'm going to keep doing exactly what I'm doing right now. If I want to do more for God, I must start by saying, God, change me. Make me fit. Transform me.
help me. First, we must be challenged. Secondly, we must be changed. Go to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. I know these verses are often used to preach to young people, but it's not written to young people. It's written to God's people. And so it's for all of us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
You know why we are who we are? Because we like it. I was in the mall in the Philippines. We were sitting there and drinking coffee. And some of the people were doing something. We were just waiting for everyone to get done, and we were going to leave the mall. And at the end of the mall, they had a religious event put on by the Catholic Church. And we were listening as they were preparing, and they were going to start it. And this lady mentioned that they were going to start this religious event, and I didn't go to it. I don't know what it was. But she said, we're going to play the national anthem. And the national anthem started playing, and that whole entire mall just stopped. And there was not a move, everyone. And so they played the national anthem. And then after they finished playing the national anthem, and remember, Philippines is a very strong religious nation. And the lady walked back up and she says, now we're going to have a moment of silence for prayer. And it was like not an ear in the mall heard it. Everything continued as before. See, even the people that are so strongly religious, they were a lot more proud of who they were than their religion. We are the Filipino people. This is our national anthem. We as Canadians are how we are because we like it that way. And if we want to do the work of God, we can't stay the way we are. We have to be changed, starting right here. First, we have to be challenged. Secondly, we have to be changed. Thirdly, we have to be channeled. We look at, in the scriptures, we look at what we call the Great Commission. And it's not that the wording is in the scriptures, but we get the wording to kind of describe world evangelism as the Great Commission. But when we think about commission and mission, there's a difference between the word mission or commission. I can be on a mission, being energized by myself, being motivated by myself, being driven by myself, fulfilling my own desires and goals. It's a man on a mission. But on a commission, when we're on a commission, then we are sent to fulfill the desires and goals and plans of another. Energized by that one. Empowered by that one. We are not on a mission to reach the world. We are on a commission. We are not here to fulfill our own plans. We are sent. We are must be channeled into the work of God. And say, I don't like the work of God. I've never had a dream about being a missionary. I'm not going to be a missionary because that's just not my desire or dream. It is not about a mission. It is about a commission. This is about fulfilling the desire and the heart of God. We've been sent by Him.
I remember I've been in evangelism right going on 10 years now that I've been in full-time evangelism. And of course, when I started in evangelism, I had ideas of what it was going to be like and the things I was going to do. And that's okay. God wasn't against that. It's okay for us to have desires. Even Jesus says, not my will, admitting that he had a will. But he says, we're not going to operate by my will, but thy will be done. And so I had plans, and this is what's going to happen, and this is what's going to happen. Guess what? Didn't work that way. And then in many areas, and God amazed me. And as a matter of fact, if I look at the ministry that God has allowed me to be part of, he's done much more than I thought. It wasn't that I was a man with big dreams. As a matter of fact, I didn't even, like, just open, give me a pulpit and I'll preach. Give me a soul and I'll witness. I didn't have great big plans or everything, but I did have plans and did have desires. And all of a sudden, like, there was, I had some burdens for some areas. And it's almost like God shut the door every time. And I just say, God, I have a burden for that area. And when are you going to open the door? And then God says, and when are we going to use my burden instead of yours? And I said, God, I get it. This is not about me. Paul had an extreme burden for the Jewish people. But it wasn't about Paul. It was about fulfilling God's burden. And of course, the burden came from God, but it still has to be God. We have to be channeled through a call of God to do a specific work in a specific place. We've been channeled through a call, through a commission, fulfill a specific purpose, through an act of courage, present a specific way. The only way we can present God properly, the only way we can fulfill the commission is we must answer the call, respond to the command, and act in courage. As a matter of fact, if we don't act in courage, we'll never fulfill God's will. It requires an act of courage to present God properly. And so we are not on our own doing our own thing. See, I don't have a heart for missions, so I have a heart for other things. But your God that saved you has a heart for missions. And it's about his heart. And so we must be channeled here into his work. And lastly, number four, there must be a commitment. You can have two people sitting in the pew, and the preacher preaches. He preaches on giving. And one person says, I'm retaking the challenge. And he makes a commitment to give $100 a week. And the other guy doesn't make a commitment. He just walks out. The next Sunday, they're both in church again. They're sitting side by side, and the offering plate comes around. And the one that made a commitment to give $100 every week only has $90. That's all he has. He takes his $90 and he puts it in the plate. The one that made no commitment, he has his wallet stacked full. But he lets the plate go by. And they walk out of the church. One of them feels like he's failed God. But the other one feels fine. Doesn't feel like he's failed God. Yet the one gave everything and the one gave nothing. The difference was the commitment. If we want to do the work of God, we must commit our life. Some people go through their entire Christian life, never witness, and don't feel bad about it. Because they've never made a commitment to doing it. If we want to do the work of God, we must commit ourselves. It requires a commitment. And that's what this is about, making a commitment. You say, I don't like commitments. Well, let me challenge you to make one. I don't like challenges either. Well, then let me ask God to change you. But we must be challenged. We must be changed. We must be channeled. And we must be committed. And God is going to show Himself God. Father in heaven,